Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Heavyweights Podcast. I am Ashton Hines, one half of the Real Estate Heavyweights. I am the newer guy of the group. I've flipped four houses. I have a long-term hold. I do real estate business here in the DFW area for investors and buyers and sellers as a realtor. And I learned a lot of what I know today from a guy that has become a super good friend and a great mentor, Tavis Westbrook, who's also here with us, the other half of the Real Estate Heavyweights. He has almost 20 years in the business, over 200 flips. He has a commercial building, multiple rentals. He's just got a wealth of experience and knowledge that he shares with us on a weekly basis. On Fridays, we come to you with a little bit of a market update, and then we touch on news, which today is amazing because we talk about someone in a local area that's getting arrested because of real estate, and someone a little bit farther away that's getting put to death because of real estate. So you don't want to miss that section in the news. And then we dive deep into what it's costing these days to do some light rehabs, and then all the way over to scraping a lot. So some of the costs that you might expect today with a little bit of the inflation, things have changed some. Tavis breaks down some of his recent deals and talks specifically about what it cost for him to do those deals. So you don't want to miss that if you were in the market to do any sort of renovation or flips. So there you have it. You can skip around or write it all the way out. That being said, if you have not, please like, subscribe, share this episode with someone else. You want to subscribe because we have an episode coming up on Tuesday with Scotty Sanders. He's a great speaker across the United States about productivity and efficiency and discipline. And we talk a lot about growing businesses and how we can put that into work in the real estate world as well. And so you don't want to miss that coming up Tuesday, but we have a ton of other interviews with great personalities in the DFW area and across Texas. And you do not want to miss out on those. So if you have not already, go check those out. And all I need someone to do is to ring the bell.
Somehow they piss somebody off, right? Like, I mean, because oh, yeah. I mean, some of these don't seem completely out of whack as far as a couple dating. You know, he's a developer.
And we wanted to talk about what you should expect to pay for certain levels of renovation. And we can actually start with Tavis is a great example. I walk houses a lot with buyers, and inevitably it's like, well, you could change the carpet. You could, you know, changing out the countertops, not a huge deal.
You are now listening to the Real Estate Heavyweights Podcast.
You see this guy here staring back at you? That's your toughest opponent. Every time you get into the ring, that's who you're going against. I believe that in boxing, and I do believe that in life.
Your weekly deep dive into DFW real estate, life, and beyond. With your hosts, Tavis Westbrook and Ashton Hines.
We're rolling now, so we can talk about Tommy. Tommy Soltran, your design partner, your design business that you do renderings for. Saw some recent renderings for Aaron's place over in Richardson. They're amazing. So what part does Tommy do? Does he do CAD? Is that
Tommy's background is CAD side. He's actually an architect by degree.
Okay.
But he does the CAD, and then he's an expert when it comes to 3D rendering, SketchUp, and there's another software that he uses. He uses a couple of them.
Okay.
But he'll tell you, he's like, I'm not a designer.
Yeah.
So
you come up with the ideas.
He's actually pretty good. If you just let him run on his own, he does a really good job. And he does. I mean, he has other clients, a lot more other clients than myself. But our paths crossed each other 2 or 3 years ago. And we started off kind of small. We just, you know, he would do takeoffs and put it in CAD for me, and then I would get it mm-hmm. back, and I'd start playing Tetris and rearranging things. And then, and then I think I tried him out on the 3D stuff, because I used to have another guy that did 3D stuff for me, and he just killed it. He just absolutely killed it. And I was like, wow. And so then we started getting even deeper in like building the library and spending time designing as we were building it. And so it's pretty cool. Like, we've done some really cool projects, and it's funny. I post some of these pictures out there, like, and I believe I posted Aaron's project on Facebook a few weeks ago when we got those renderings, and everybody's like, wow, this is amazing. You know, I can't wait to see it. Like, everyone thinks it's actually the real thing. And I'm like, I have to kind of, we put in there renderings, you know, before and after, but I have to kind of explain to people, like, no, this isn't done yet. And they're like, wait, what? Like, it looks real.
Some of the AI. That happens with some of those AI pictures, Midjourney. They're so real looking, and you can put in a prompt and get a great picture of a cool living room. I've messed around with it some. What's funny about the AI stuff is we actually did it this weekend. I was up in Denver helping. I was seeing my brother and his family up in Thornton, and I was helping him build this little playground out back, and I put it into, I think, DaVinci, which uses Stable Diffusion and one other one for renderings. And I described the playground in as much detail as possible. And it does a pretty good job, but it's always really creepy because the slide will be slightly warped and off to the, you know, going up to a window or something. Or you'll have some kid just laying on the ground awkwardly. It's doing its best to interpret what you're wanting.
Yeah.
But it just, there's always a few things. I've done it with Luke and his trumpet. I've done a few things with trumpet. And from 5 feet away, it looks like a guy holding a trumpet. You get closer, this dude's got six fingers. The trumpet's all mangled. It's like a horror film, some of those things. But if you do the renderings on the rooms, they're really, really cool. But if you look closely, the little end table will have five legs, or they're just always weird lines. It's kind of fun to, but y'all's renderings are amazing. And by Aaron's house, the midterm rental that you are helping design over in Richardson that I helped sell, that's going to turn out great. It's a Tudor style home. There's so many homes down there in Richardson that have that old school stucco with some of the wood trim out front. It looks, I always think it kind of, I feel a little bit like if you put enough of those in a row, I would feel like I was at Epcot Center in Disney, the German section. Mm-hmm. You kind of feel that's where you are. But y'all are taking that, updating it, but honoring that style and not trying to force some sort of modern look or really, really adjusting things. So what y'all figured out is great. And I think even on the renderings, you put some vines out on the front where it's growing up the side of the house. I've always loved that look. And I think that probably goes back to growing up in Amarillo. I lived right next to a part of town that was pretty high end. We were not in that part of town, but we're close enough to what I consider to be wealthy. And two things came out of that. I figured that everyone who drove a Jeep Wagoneer was basically a billionaire. And then if you had vines on the front of your house, this was the sign of ultimate wealth. Oh, wow. So I love whenever I see the vines on the stucco there. So see, I think you guys
didn't even know that.
An awesome job. I know it now. So I need to do that on the front of my house, and I'll pull up every day and just think.
I mean, it somewhat makes me cringe a little bit because I just think of the maintenance, you know, that you got to do to keep up with it when you do that, right? Because I've definitely,
you're that wealthy, you just have people to do that.
Yes, that is true. And you know, midterm rental, Aaron's gonna have all this delegated, so
he's gonna kill it. He's gonna kill it. No, he does great. You know, he's impressive. He's kind of like Eric Crutchfield in that, how do you do your day? You know, he's a surgeon. He runs two vein clinics. He self-manages a short-term rental up in the Smokies. He has one in Broken Bow. Now he's doing this renovation there in Richardson. It's crazy the days that some of these people figure out.
Yep.
We just did an interview with Scotty Sanders that'll come out Tuesday. So if you have not subscribed yet, please subscribe. And that way you'll be notified when that podcast pops up. And Scotty's great. He specializes in productivity and efficiency and discipline. It's a really great conversation. He's spoken to people all over the country, and he's led a lot of large organizations. He's grown a huge business. And there's just a lot of insight there, but there's just people who operate at a different level. And so it's kind of nice. This podcast has been cool because we've been able to tap into some of those lives and to meet these people who just do things differently. And, you know, for me, you're at that level where you do a lot more real estate business. So every level you get to, you can find someone that's okay. They're doing it a little bit more, a little bit better. What can I take and put it into my life today to maybe do a little bit better? So that's been a lot of fun. So for me, things have slowed down a little bit. I'm trying to help some investors, but the interest rates have crept up this week. And I think even on that front, they're just getting a little bit more hesitant and scared. I had a deal fall apart because of interest rates. And I have another guy that's backed off a little bit because things just aren't penciling for him. So it's just really interesting. So that being said, why don't we get into a little bit of a market update?
Let's do it.
So in the market, like I said, the interest rates are going up. The super official Google 30-year fixed right now shows to be 7.9, which I think is probably a little high for really good credit. I was talking to someone yesterday. I think you might be looking in the mid 7.6, 7.7, but either way, it's gone up. We've talked about this, the fundamentals of our interest rate and what the Fed is trying to do over the last year is they're trying to slow the economy down. Inflation was way higher than it is now, and they have been bringing it down, the core inflation rate. And I think it was 3.2, and then a report came out and inflation went back up, ticked up to 3.5. And so interest rates reflexively went up after that. Everyone is assuming that this year, oh, they're going to cut the rates three times, they're going to cut it 2.75 points. Well, now people are adjusting their hypothesis for the year. I think JP Morgan or one of the big ones came out this week and had revised from 2.75 points overall to maybe just pulling back a quarter of a point by the end of the year, which is a huge adjustment. So who knows? At the end of the day, they want inflation, the core inflation, to be around 2%. We're at 3.8 or 3.5 right now. Job reports continue to be pretty strong. So as long as the economy is chugging along, they have not accomplished exactly what they wanted to. They wanted to slow it down a little bit. So I don't know. It's going to be, it might be, everyone was really excited about the summer and the spring. An article came out this last week from Dallas Morning News saying, hey, this week specifically could be the best time to put your house on the market. Statistically, this is the sweet spot of demand typically for the spring and people wanting to start looking to move. And I don't know. I mean, with the news this week of things going back up and rates being difficult, it's not looking that way as far as the numbers. Our MLS is showing that pending sales and closed sales are down year over year. Not a ton, about negative 5%, down about 5%. So it's not this huge, huge drop, but it is down. And our inventory is going up, even though it still shows at 3.2 months. From a statistical standpoint, I think it's up a few percentage points. So we're about level from where we were last week. The thing that has changed is the interest rate. And no one wants to see interest rates going up. But then I did meet someone this last week who was in the real estate business back in the 70s, I think. And he said he remembers selling homes with mortgages at 18%. So,
well, and I was going to say, you know, I'm going to celebrate 20 years this year in real estate. So August will be my 20th year anniversary in this business.
That's cool.
Licensed.
Well, I need to have a party.
Yeah, we party every time we do this, you know.
we'll have a real party with cake. I'll make a 20-year cake for you.
What I was going to say is back then, you know, there was a few years. I mean, obviously the mortgage crisis happened a latter part of 2005, 2006, and then there was all this controversy, you know, but that was talking about the decline, right? Whatever they call the depression series when that took place, right? But nevertheless, before that, interest rates just were what they were. I mean, you would get qualified for a loan and the interest rate was what it was, right? I think at my original interest rate when I bought a house in 2001 was 6.75 or something, you know, and that was that's just what the rates were. I mean,
yeah.
It was good. Again, you would hear the stories about the 80s. And so anything that was in that range was fantastic.
Right.
When the rates shifted a little bit and then they did like dip down into the fives, like a couple years after that or something, you know, you could look at refinancing. But I don't remember it being such a hot topic like it is now. And I know a lot of that has to do with we had an all-time low of interest rates, which everybody kept saying that for the last, you know, 3 out of 5 years was an extreme low that never happened. That was once in a lifetime kind of deal. And everybody's saying, take advantage of it while you can. And now we're the postpartum side of that. And now we're looking back going, oh man, when are interest rates ever going to get that low again? You know, and now it's a conversation all the time, right? Because we're still so used to these rates being low and what buying power was to somebody when the rates were in the threes and the fours and the fives that now you have this like feeling of being left out in a way. Mm-hmm. And yeah. instead of just adapting to what the current rate is based on what your buying power allows you to do and follow along. So, I mean, I think it's going to probably continue doing what it's doing for the next couple of years. And then it's going to become kind of a mute point. And it's not going to even be discussed.
It'll be kind of washed out.
Yeah. And our real estate industry still seems strong. Again, we're in the DFW area. We have a minimum amount of supply. We're still in a seller's market. The good properties are still selling fast. There's still an increase of value from even 2022 when the market went absolutely bonkers here mm-hmm. with lack of inventory and properties were selling for $50,000-$60,000 over asking. We're still above that. If you look at some of these comps, you know, like my nephew was out looking for properties last week. And it's funny you said your people were kind of backing out. We wrote an offer this weekend. Brand new listing on the property, first people to the table, wrote it as strong as we possibly could. Not a lot of comps to support value, you know, everything we possibly could to make it attractive. Multiple offers, and they dragged us on till, you know, late Monday. And I think it was late Monday when they came back, maybe Tuesday, I can't recall. But anyways, they came back and they're like, basically, we're up against cash. And we're like, well, if it's really cash, you know, there's not much we can do with that. I mean, we can waive the financing contingency if we get full underwrite approval. There's different things, but then you're, you know, earnest money's at risk and there's different factors.
Right.
So anyways, my nephew, I think just visiting with his wife, feeling like everything was kind of a little bit of a stretch and they were being pulled in a direction that they kind of felt the pressure. And the house had some bumps and bruises. I mean, the location was absolutely phenomenal. And it was like a low or mid four house in a 500 average sales price was 515. And it was like 440 for this house. So it was like one of those opportunities where you're getting into a really nice neighborhood for a lower price point based on it being a smaller home and zero lot line. So there was different factors. And I don't know. They just felt that pressure. And, you know, again, he kind of came to me and said, well, I don't know. I think we're going to wait, you know, interest rates, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the rates just spiked a little bit. And I'm like, don't let that any of that discourage you. I mean, we don't know what it's going to be in the future, but I think they just took it as reality now to reset and really get serious on putting some cash away. To be better prepared so that they can basically buy their way into a home versus, you know, force their way in. And part of it was their pressure. They had 60-day notice they had to give on their apartment and rents were going up. So they felt all this pressure. But I think they're just going to reset and regroup and re-sign the lease and keep their budget low and just start stacking cash to be in a better position a year from now, right?
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, your fundamentals are better and you're going into it smarter. I'm looking back at the trends here. It shows in 2021, this month of 2021, the average sales price for all of the MLS was $391,400. So $391,000. Today, it's showing entire is $460,000.
Yep.
So it went from entire MLS back then was 337. I was looking at Dallas County. And then now it's 460. So it's crazy. It's gone way up over those years. And even though we've ebbed and flowed and all this, and that's some of the thing I've talked to some of these investors is the actual penciling of cash flow is not perfect right now. But if you want to get into a house in a market that's appreciating and you're going to be able to go up on rents eventually, and it's all going to work out, you find a place and you go ahead and get in the market, put your money to work. It's not horrible. But it just doesn't look like a traditional rental where, hey, let's get into this. Let's start cash flowing immediately and it's going to appreciate and it's in a good part of town. It's just very, very difficult to do. But hopefully we'll kind of level out and people will, you know, and it, like you said, if people, the end result is the fundamentals get better and you put more money down, you have more equity in a house to begin with just to bring the mortgage down, that'd be great. And then maybe they can bring inflation down. And
well, and here's what we were finding. I mean, obviously the good ones go quick and this was a good one. I mean, I felt like it was priced right, but I mean, you walked in and it was clean. I mean, the pictures looked really good, but you walked in and you smelled dog. It wasn't horrible, dirty dog, but you smelled dog. Mm-hmm. And carpet were Frigier carpet, popular 10, 15 years ago, still had the Frigier carpet in there. And that Frigier carpet, if you remember, it was like the modern version of shag, right?
Okay.
And so it's kind of thick, you know, and kind of long strands, multicolored typically, but it just held the dog smell. So even though the house had been cleaned, you just smell it right when you walk in. So immediately they're like, we need to spend a couple $1,000 and change out the carpet. Now, most of the floors were LVT throughout, but immediately there's that piece. And then there was the exterior backyard and the pergola and some different things that were left undone. The master bath, for instance, had an updated shower, which was great, but it still had the 80s floor tile and it had the original countertops, and they upgraded the faucets, but they left all that and they didn't even coat them, right? And so, and it was a lived in house. It wasn't like a flip. So it had a lot of the elements that I felt good for them to pursue, but it wasn't going to be bulletproof. I mean, they're going to put money down, and mind you, because of high demand, we couldn't roll in closing costs. This particular situation was discounting the, I say discount, I got to be careful saying that, but their offering for buyer agent commission was 2.5% versus 3%, which again, I didn't care.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. I didn't care. It was my nephew, the seller's paying it. Yeah. Cool. But you know, I'm starting to see that now, right? As I was kind of poking in the market for him. And then, you know, we saw some other homes, and we walked this one home in Plano that it looked really good on pictures. Well, actually, the exterior pictures looked horrible. The inside looked okay. We walked it. It had a lot of really cool features inside that they did, all this decor. And I think it must have been an Airbnb because it had so many different, like, little nuances in there that seemed really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as we're going around, I mean, things, I don't know how they even went on the market. Like, the faucets were loose, and I made sure the plumbing worked, and I went into the bathroom and I lifted the toilet seat, and the toilet seat came off, and I'm like, what in the world, man? And you're walking through this home, and it just, every little thing, it's like it was an Airbnb, and just this lack of maintenance, you know? And so then you walk outside and the driveway immediately slopes inverted, right? It goes back up to the alley, and you could tell there was problems with drainage because they had a little cutout, and you could see the stains on the garage floor. And then you go in the backyard, and the backyard slopes right into the back patio. Well, they built an addition for the master closet, and they built it out of wood, and they didn't build it up very high. And you could see they used spray foam down at the bottom around the outside of the addition where the concrete met, thinking that's going to hold water out. It's not going to hold water out. And so, and you could see it from the master closet, you could see water stains, and I'm like, this thing is going to be an absolute nightmare. And there's no way
you just put a line of sandbags back there. I lived in Louisiana for a while. I've put out sandbags. It does a great job. Yeah. You know,
but I'm like, there's no easy way to fix this, you know? And like, this is going to be problematic. And the wife really liked it because it was had all these little cool features and, you know, these
Instagrammable little things.
Exactly. But I'm like, I just see this thing's a mess. And then it went multiple offers.
And I'm like, well, I found that several times when
doing out here, man.
Yeah. I found that when we were looking in that Richardson for that investors, a lot of these Airbnb type places are so cheaply put together, but they look pretty decent on pictures. And some people are fooled by what it takes to use a 1x2 stripping to make your staircase rail and put a 2x4 on there, but it's painted black, so it looks pretty cool. I don't know. It does have a different feel, but I want to get, let's save some of this conversation towards the end, because I do want to talk about the cost of rehabs and sort of the cost of doing some of these updates. We're going to do an update of what you might expect to spend for these lipstick things for level 1, 2, 3 rehab. We've talked about that some a long time ago, but I want to do an update. But that would really come into play here. You know, what could they expect to pay just to kind of get something updated there? So why don't we go ahead and get into a little bit of news?
Ladies and gentlemen, could I please have your attention?
From Dallas, Texas, the Flash, apparently official.
There's good news and bad news.
This is a massive story. Who wouldn't publish it?
We landed on the moon!
Man, I've got certain information, all right? Certain things have come to light.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
So a story we touched on a few weeks ago has come full circle, and it turns out that it does not pay to try to steal money from the Vietnamese government if you're going to embezzle through real estate, because there is a real estate tycoon that embezzled $12.5 billion from the government. I don't even know how you come close to that. I think the accountant should be dealt with as well, because someone was not doing their job when one day they were okay. The next day they came in, they said, "Sir, there's $12.5 billion missing." But the tycoon that
getting paid to look the other way.
That's probably what was happening. I think there really was a large thing at play. But the ringleader, she will be put to death. They are not putting her in jail. She will not pass go or collect $200. She will be put to death, which is pretty intense. That's, you know,
yes.
No one wants anyone embezzling money. You should not do that. However, I guess they really want to make a point and say, we do not appreciate this. Do not try it again. And they will put you to death for that. So that was pretty crazy. We had talked about that a few weeks ago. A little bit closer to home, there is a political person that will be spending time in jail, 6 years in jail. Laura Jordan was the former Richardson mayor. She and her now husband, but at that time non-husband and developing lover, have been arrested for bribery, a bribery scheme. There is a developer who... let me see his name. What is his name? Something Jordan.
I'm looking for it now. It's Mark Jordan.
Mark Jordan, yeah. So Mark Jordan is a developer. He was trying to get an apartment complex along 75, which goes right through Richardson, getting some approvals there. And he started courting the mayor and bribing her with all sorts of fancy things and trips and dinners and... I guess in the course of that, they fell madly in love. And what's interesting about the case is that it's kind of the timing of their love relationship actually has something to do with whether this is considered legal or illegal or bribery, or the time that they went on this trip. Is that because they're dating and they eventually get married? Or is this because he's trying to bribe her for an apartment? So the interesting part about it is that they ended up getting married. So a lot of these things, it's, how do you parse out? This is just a developer trying to, you know, show off to impress his new girlfriend, or
the defense attorney. You know, their push was it's a love affair between two people who let their feelings for each other cloud their judgment and tarnish their ethical standards. A couple married in 2017 during federal investigation, an act of prosecutors called an orchestrated sham intended to obscure what they called the real motive, greed and selfishness.
Greed and selfishness. That they probably put that in their vows when they were marrying. My favorite detail of this article is that when they were talking about things that he gave her, that included at least a dozen trips to exotic locations, usually in fabulous accommodations overlooking the ocean. I just think they have to throw in overlooking the ocean. Because when I go to fabulous vacations, a lot of times I cheap out. I go for the courtyard view and I have to walk around front to go see the ocean. He splurged. He did not spare one dime. And they got to look at the ocean, which kind of put this whole thing over the top. If he had just spoiled her by taking her to Wichita Falls, we might not be here. But they decided to go over the top and get ocean views.
I think somehow they pissed somebody off, right? Some of these don't seem completely out of whack as far as a couple dating. You know, he's a developer. She was on council. And, you know, and then became the mayor. But when she was on council, that's what their argument is that she was swaying votes. Based on the relationship. Maybe. And I think there's an argument there. Like if it's your wife, you know, or you're dating somebody and they have an interest in the development, I mean, of course you're going to vote for them, right? I mean, of course, you're going to kind of push for them if you like this person.
And well, I think the thing that actually hurt her, I want to say in the article, she had voted against this project or something similar pretty recently before. Then he comes into the picture and starts just showering her with all these gifts and a Mercedes and
I didn't see
ocean views, hotels.
I mean,
and then she changed her
some
mind.
Some of this, even though these seem like extravagant gifts, they don't seem like it's an extravagant gift from somebody you're dating that's a developer. So $18,000 in cash, $40,000 by check, Mercedes convertible, $24,000 in home renovations.
He skimped on home renovations. I mean, of all the things he could have given her.
I'm thinking that he's like, that doesn't get you very far.
$24,000 in renovations. We'll talk about that. I mean, we're talking, he might have redone the carpet.
Yeah.
And he might have pressure washed the backyard and, you know, a little bit of landscaping. $24,000 on home renovations when you're a developer.
I mean, it says total benefits, and you know, this was over a period of time. I mean, this was over a couple of years, but $130,000 is what it totaled to. I mean, you think about that now, what somebody spends on dating somebody,
a girlfriend,
or girlfriends or wives.
Yeah, probably know people who've spent a lot more trying to impress girls that they're dating. It just so happens that the girls on the other side can't vote to help bring in an apartment complex down the street. So I thought that was a very interesting story. But it does seem that they will be spending time in jail, even though they are appealing to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court did hear a similar case from another state. So there's a chance that they will hear this. But, and I think a lot of it has to do with the nuances of what's a bribe and the dating and all that, when the timing of all that. But they have not agreed to see, they have not agreed to hear that case yet. So anyway, that was a fun little story to read about our little Richardson, which I flipped the house in and you've done a lot of business in. And I actually really, really like Richardson. So we will keep track of that for sure. All right. So today we wanted to revisit a little bit of our flipping university. And we wanted to talk about what you should expect to pay for certain levels of renovation. And we can actually start with Tavis is a great example. I walk houses a lot with buyers. And inevitably, it's like, well, you could change the carpet. You could, you know, changing out the countertops, not a huge deal. You, of course, every little layer of the onion you peel back, then it's like, well, do we need to do this? Do we need to do that? You know, painting a room doesn't seem like a huge deal. But then if the rest of the house looks awful, comparatively, maybe you need to do the whole house, that becomes more expensive. So why don't we briefly revisit the levels of renovation? We have a 1, 2, 3, and then the scrapes, 4, new build. And let's kind of just kind of touch on what you're spending these days and what you might consider to be in that realm of a renovation. So let's talk about level 1. This is the basic lipstick. This is probably what you'd be talking about if you're walking through with the buyer and you're wanting to just update some stuff. What are your typical price ranges in that one these days, Tavis?
So we call it kind of the entry level, right? I mean, tier one is basically, you know, you're repairing what's broken and you're cosmetically updating kitchens, bathrooms, flooring, you know, inside, outside paint. You know, fixed texture stuff, you know, things like that. But when it comes to major components, you're just kind of, you're going to repair what's broken, right? So if there's a plumbing issue, you're going to repair it. AC issue, repair it. Windows, repair, you know, what's there. You got fog seals, you're going to repair them. You know, electrical, if you got a panel, you're going to go ahead and update it if it's out of date or it's discontinued. So that number for me, walking into a property, going to start at like $32 a foot. So it used to be like $26 a foot back in the day, 5-6 years ago. Now that number's increased thanks inflation. So now it's like $32 a foot is kind of where I'm plugging it in. In fact, I'm looking at my documents here for the Abilia property that I did in Wiley earlier this year. My budget was $32.55. Now this was actually broken all the way down line item by line item. And this had a little bit of foundation work on it in the beginning, nothing major, but $32.55 was the budget. And the actual cost, drum roll, please, came in at $30.35.
Oh my gosh, so this guy.
I don't know how I came in under budget. Bargain hunter.
You're digging through the bargain bin over at Floor and Decor. That's what you're doing.
So, mind you, this was a 2000s house, 2003 house. So I didn't have to change the panel. There was a lot of things in the home that were already up to date. Water heater was good. There was a lot of components in this home that were good. The roof was good. We did have some fence work outside and then all the cosmetics, right? But I was relatively, I wasn't moving walls. I wasn't doing anything crazy. It was pretty much all cosmetic updates and updating a 20-year-old home. And so that's where that number was. Now, mind you, in bigger homes, the dollar per foot will decrease a little bit. And this was like almost a 3,500 square foot home.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of a good rule of thumb there. But for instance, if you get into like a 1,400 square foot home, that number may actually be higher, maybe closer to $40 a foot, because kitchens are kitchens and bathrooms are bathrooms. So what I mean by that is your appliance package, for the most part, is going to stay the same regardless of the size of the house. In some cases, if you have double ovens and things like that, the numbers are going to get a little crazier. But for the most part, you're going to run into, you know, the cost to do a bathroom is going to be similar, whether it's a 1,400 square foot home or a 3,000 square foot home. So anyways, that's your
now,
basis.
If you're walking with a, well, and if, and that was, so you're a little over $100,000 lipstick, lipstick reno, and you're flipping it. But when you walk away, it's looking like a really new house. It looks great. If you're touching here and there, if you're a new home buyer, you might just be doing the paint. You might just be replacing some toilets and some flooring here and there. You might spot check that. You could definitely get away with sort of working into some projects, you know, and so you're not going to be that for everything, but.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're able to, like, if you're a homeowner, that number might start to do some decent updates, but not overhaul the entire house. Like what my intent is at that $30 a foot or $32 a foot, you might be able to start at like 15. Cut that in half, maybe 15 to 20. Yeah. Doesn't get you very far though. Like, so for instance, I'm doing another one. We contracted one over in Dallas. It's Carrollton ISD. And this is literally, I can't even call it a tier one. This is like, it's just a very light lipstick. Again, homeowner decided to sell it to me versus, you know, selling it on the market, because we talked about, hey, you're going to have to do a little bit of landscape, a little freshen up, do some paint work inside. So realistically, there's not anything crazy happening over there, but it does need to be painted. I'm going to go in there with some designer paint schemes, because I think that really makes a huge difference, even though the paint numbers still cost me the same. But I'm going to get a little bit more creative on my paint colors and, you know, really make it attractive. Working with the countertops that are in there and the tile that are in there, which would not be things that I choose to put in there today. But because those hard surfaces is already in there, my plan is to find paint schematics that make sense. If you remember that house in Garland we did last year on Echo, it has almost the same exact color countertop, right? That old gold countertop that was really popular 15 years ago. And so the cool thing with that is I've already done the headache before and worked with that color countertop. So I know my cabinet color now, right? Yeah. And I'm like, I know that I have the perfect idea for this. So it's going to go a long way just by making those changes, right? So just to give you an
idea. You're still going to spend $30,000-$40,000 easy to
Just to talk about kind of what we just hit on that. Mind you, it's a smaller home. It's 1,344 square feet. The cost that I have in my budget for that, broken down light item by light item, is $25,300, $18.82.
There you go. So that's a pretty small house, you know. It's a
small house that's not
super light.
Touching anything major. That's working with. Yep. I mean, the floors are staying, everything is staying. I'm just really just doing some paint, some lipstick. It's got an old electrical panel, needs to be changed out. It needs some landscape work. Needs the fence cleaned up. You know, there's some little things. But anyway, so go back tier one. If you're flipping, you need to do everything. Like, it really needs to be looked at in that sense. If you're going to increase value as an added value play, which is most fix and flip situations, $32 a foot, go up from there. So what I usually say is $32 a foot covers all of your your cosmetics. It covers pretty much everything you're going to need to do to update the home. And then let's say you need to do a roof. The roof is now going to be on top of that $32 a foot. So whatever that roof ends up being, you know, let's say it's a $15,000 roof on 3,000 square foot house, right? It's $5 a foot if you kind of look at it that way, right?
Yeah.
So now you're going to add $5 a foot.
Foundation work would be the same way. Foundation work.
Exactly. So you're going to add kind of that $5 to $7 per any major issue, you know, you're going to tack on top of that. So $32 now becomes $37 for a roof.
Yeah.
You got electrical issues, add another $5 on top of that, maybe plus or minus. So that number can get to $45,000 really quickly. And so like this project I just looked at that we ended up missing out on because of the flood zone in Plano, I think that number, again, more or less light tier one, not doing anything crazy, keeping everything kind of as is, repairing what's broken. And, you know, it had more repairs that needed to be done inside, but I mean, it was $45 a foot. So the tier one has now pushed from anything from $32 a foot on upwards to $50 a foot. So that's kind of the range. Okay.
Yeah. And so let's go to tier two. So tier twos, if you start hitting a couple major systems, you're replacing plumbing, you're ripping out electrical. And I know for you, moving walls, doing any sort of an actual small addition or moving walls and really having to move plumbing around, that gets into your tier two.
Tier two is kind of like what Ashton's projects have been. You're moving some walls, you're opening walls. You're probably getting into replacing cabinets. You're replacing windows. You're adding things in the home, subtracting things in the home, such as I believe in the last two projects you did, you added bathrooms. So in that case, that's tier two. So you're staying inside the walls, you're not going outside the walls, but you're definitely staying inside the walls and you're gutting it. It may be down to the studs. It may not be everything, but it may be a kitchen that you're rearranging, a master bath, master closet you're rearranging. Mm-hmm. But that gets into tier two. A lot of times these older homes that we're seeing, you know, in Dallas and different parts of the area, even small homes that might be 1,200 square feet, but they're built in the 1940s. It's a tier two, man. Mm-hmm. Electrical's outdated, plumbing's outdated. You might have to add a bathroom. And I think this is where a lot of wholesalers get this wrong. Because once you peel that thing back, you peel that onion back to that point and you start adding bathrooms and crap, that number is going to be, and I would say that you're probably safe to start at $60 a foot and go up from there. So yeah, I don't know.
And a wholesaler is going to look at that and they're going to look at the square footage. They're going to say, change out, put carpet in, paint it, change, paint the outside. Yeah. $40,000, huge spread. So $200,000 spread.
So what was the square footage on your Mapleton house?
Oh gosh. I would have to go back and look.
I mean, 2,000 feet.
I think 2,000. We were right around 2,000 feet. Yeah, I'm not going to have all of my numbers right because we had to redo so many things there.
Yeah, but I need to go back. I mean, and do just the high level. I think that number. I think originally you were
140,000 or something like that was our final rehab number. Right around 140.
Yeah, 140. Yeah, so 140. So you know, if you do the math on that. That what did I just say? I said you're going to start at 60,
70. Yep.
Yeah. So that would be $70 a foot, right? So and probably could have been closer to 60, but you started with the GC.
Yeah.
You spent money you didn't have to spend, and you had
did plumbing twice, electrical twice.
You had to redo some things, so it should have been
about. Guy was horrible.
Should have been about $120,000 reno, and you spent $140. So,
and then our carrying costs got out of hand on that one. So that was the two problems there was I had the wrong people early on multiple fronts. So we fixed that. And then I doubled up on another flip at the same time. So we had to pause there. So my carrying cost ended up being insane, which carrying costs and all that's not even factored into the rehab, the rehab number. But yeah, on the actual rehab, I think we ended up right around 140.
Yeah.
And we added a bathroom, we moved several walls, we added an office, we opened up the kitchen, we took a wall out of the kitchen, we really went all out, all new cabinets there. So it was a great rehab and it turned out to be a great house.
Yeah.
We should have replaced the AC, evidently, because the AC, I had just found out, went out. And that was a pretty decent system, and we had serviced it. And you get a call from the realtor and say, hey, is there a warranty on that? I'm like, I'm sorry.
Well, there's the question is, did it really go out, or are they getting scammed by some who's service guy that it's a capacitor that went out, and he comes out, and he's like, oh, you need a whole new system. That happens quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're getting sold by, you know, some kind of crazy, fancy, ionized, you know, AC system, what, $30,000 for it when it should cost $7,500.
Right. So, if you could just scrape it and build it new every time, then great. But so speaking of scraping and building new, let's go ahead and kind of, not rush, but let's kind of touch on these lightly. So level three and then level four.
So a tier two is going to start at $60 a foot, go up. I would say probably, I mean, you could get that number. You could spend $100 a foot, you know, on a tier two, depending on how crazy you're getting inside the walls. You know, it like the Candy Creek type of homes that we've seen recently, or better yet, let's talk about the one we mentioned earlier in the podcast that we're doing for Aaron, the midterm rental. Mind you, that gets a little heavier because you really are doing some things really nice. But my budget for that I kind of threw off the hip for him was $100 a foot. That's a tier two. It's inside the walls. We're doing some things. We're punching some ceilings up. We're opening some walls. We're doing some things. We're not adding any bathrooms. We're keeping everything kind of where it is. But I told him, expect to spend about $100 a foot. Now, mind you, he's got some pool work and different things in there.
Yeah.
And in that case, that's, you know, $300,000, right? So, you know, that kind of gives you an idea of how quick that number can run on a tier two, depending on the scope, depending on price point. Mind you, he paid 6.25 for that house. You spend $300,000, you're in the nines value on it. You know, the idea is, how do we get this thing to a valuation of $1.1 million, $1.2 million? And I think,
and it's going
to
be close. I think
with doing this reno and doing everything we're doing with the design, it feels like $1.2 million house now, and it will when it's done. I think it'll be better in person than it is with the renderings. But even Aaron was like, do you think we can get close to these renderings? I'm like, dude, it'll be better than that. So it's going to be cool. But anyways, all that to be said, what we consider a tier three is now going outside the walls. So tier three would be, we need to add square footage. So a lot of these wholesalers out here throw us a deal. Yeah, this would be a great deal. You just need to add 500 square feet, or you just need to add, you know, a bedroom, or you just need to add this, right? Mm-hmm. And they talk about it so loosely, but you could almost imagine it's kind of like doing a heavy tier two, and then not only a heavy tier two, but now you're going to have to add square footage. So you can almost plug that number in about $100 a foot on your addition. And again, that's going to depend whether it's, you know, are you adding plumbing in that addition? Or are you just adding sleeping quarters? Like, what are you doing in that addition? It's going to change things. Does it need brick? Is it siding? What kind of roof is going on there? All those different things will change those factors. But I would say, you know, most likely going from going to a tier three, you're punching the walls and you're going outside the walls. I'd say that number is probably about $100 a foot is where that number is going to start and go up from there. So, you know, in some cases, the math doesn't make sense. Yeah. Why would you spend $100 a foot on a, you know, 1500 square foot home, you know, in the hood where some of these people were throwing these kind of things at us? But the reality is, once you peel it back and you get permits, city's going to want to see all the electrical updated, AC needs to be updated, energy code needs to be met. And then you're going to have, you know, all these other factors. I mean, it's going to be hard on a tier three to get away with keeping that old AC system. You can do it on a tier two. Tier three, though, once you're adding square footage and you're doing all these things, you're going to need to put a new mechanical system in. You're going to need to make sure that the plumbing's all the way done. If it's, and even on a tier two, I would say if it's cast iron, change it out, put in PVC. Yep. So
old electrical panel, you're basically changing all that out.
And you're even going to potentially do that on a tier two, depending on the situation. You did that in Mapleton, you did that in your other one.
Yep.
So $100 a foot and go up from there. As far as like scraping, tearing down and building, that number is going to range somewhere between $150 to $200 a foot and go up from there as far as what you're going to spend on scraping a home. Now, you may have some people out there push back and say maybe they can build for $100 a foot. Maybe they do it for $125 a foot. Now, mind you, I'm kind of looking at gross square footage as well, because once you tear down a property, you need to start looking at the total
patio, square footage, garage, everything.
Yeah, because that's going to cost your contractors money, right? Like, I mean, that's all part of the equation. Even though resale is based off of net square footage, what's the AC square footage is how we evaluate value. But when you build it, there's still a cost in building a garage. There's still a cost in painting and texturing and finishing out a garage. There's still a cost in putting electrical in it. All those different things are factors that we seem to forget about.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. That's a great overview. And I know the numbers change periodically and things are getting more and more expensive. And so it's nice to kind of hear real numbers and look at actual projects to say, this is what it costs. And honestly, a lot of people that are getting into the business, a lot of their first impressions of the of wholesale deals and all that's coming from your New Westerns or your net worths and some of these people that they're out there trying to sell these deals. They try to make them look really nice and fluffy. Sometimes they know what they're talking about. Sometimes these are brand new wholesalers. They have zero idea what they're talking about. And they're just kind of making up numbers. And they're always typically going to make the rehabs look really easy and light. And, oh, all you got to do is this, and it's going to be amazing. So it's just, it's nice to hear that it actually costs a good bit of money to do. And I will say, you can tell the difference between walking a house that Tavis does or that I'm learning how to do and what other flippers do. There are other flippers out there who could do it cheaper for sure, because they cheap out on all sorts of stuff. They cheap out on craftsmanship. You can tell in the trim work and the tile work, and it's just a little sloppy. They're going to skimp here and there. But my opinion is when you're a buyer walking through and you see two or three things like that, immediately red flags go up. If they're not taking care of the things that you're seeing right now, what is behind the walls and in the attic and under the house that they didn't take care of for sure? So I think doing a good job trying to touch the every surface to where it's obviously looking like a redone house, it really puts a lot of comfort in the people walking around and I think adds to the value of the house. But you will meet people who could do it cheaper because they cheap out on just the cheapest faucets and all that stuff, you know, painting cabinet doors and, you know, putting crappy, you know, fixtures on them, all that stuff. There's ways to do it cheaper, but the way Tavis does it and I'm learning how to do it, I think is a great way. You can still get a good ARV. This also explains why you can't just pick up every house that comes by. Because you have to have enough margin in there to do a really good job. So you have to pass up on some jobs that may other people may jump on and like, hey, blessings, good to you, good for you. I can't do what I want to do with that house right there. So that's kind of explained some of that. So thank you, Tavis, for going through those numbers. If you have not, please like, subscribe, follow us on YouTube, on Spotify or Apple, share this podcast with a friend. Our numbers slowly are growing. We've had some really great guests lately that have shared with their audience. And I think we have some people that are newly listening, and we definitely thank you for that. If you have an opportunity to share this with a friend, colleague, or whatever, that would be amazing. We come to you once a week on Fridays with the market update and the news and a little bit about the real estate industry. And then we try to get as many interviews as possible in. And we are creeping up on episode 50, and that'll be a lot of fun. If you were listening to this on Friday and you have not yet bought your tickets for the White Rock Tour of Homes, that is the Mid-Century Tour of Homes this coming up weekend, please do so. We're going to be out there Saturday. I might be out there Sunday looking around. Tavis and some friends are going to be out there Saturday. He's a sponsor. If you have not, go back and listen to last Friday. We talked about the mid-century style and what makes this tour special. Check that out. That'll be a lot of fun and a great way to see some really, really cool homes in a nice part of Dallas. That will do it for today. Until next time, we hope you have a great day.